Okay, we're on page Nun Vav, right at the bottom. Let's assume we should finish up Perek Hei today and take any questions people have on this very challenging chapter. So the next subtopic is called Vesisa Imadi Chesed Ve'emes, and do with me a kindness and a truth, which is Chaim Shel Nesina, a life of giving. So it continues. Arata Birarnu Es HaNekuda Pshuta. Up until now, we've explained this simple point. Shimaru Mechapi says, Kono, if a person is searching for his creator, he has to be able to leave the mundane aspects of this world. Now it's time to explain a much deeper point. Why does a person have this yearning for these mundane aspects of this world? And by nature, he is tied into these things. Why is it that we feel so connected to them? And how is it possible to sever those spiritual connections to this world? And then a person will be clear and free to think of the thoughts that really focus on the real goals of life and being connected to Hashem. So what is this that's really holding us back? So the answer begins, Kishiyatsu Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, Ki Avadai Heim, because they are my servants. HaMahalech Shal Yehudi, the pathway in life of a Jew, HaTach L'Shlo, his goal is, is to reach the level of a true servant. And that's what we say every Shabbos morning in the Shemon Esrei. Yismach Moshe b'matanas chelko ki eved ne'emon karosalo. Moshe was happy with the gift of his portion because he was called a trusted servant. That's what he was happy about. He was happy that he was known as the trusted servant. A person has to live in a way that he's not searching out and seeking out the ability to get the pleasure and to be the receiver. But he should be at the level of, as to paraphrase the words of Yaakov Avinu when he asked Yosef for a final chesed, where Yaakov said, "Vasisa imadi chesed ve'emes al nasik bareini b'mitzrayim." But rather, the Jew should be on the level of saying, please do for me a kindness and a truth, and don't bury me in Egypt. What does he mean by that? Ma kavana. Mishalochai bebechinas chesed shalemis. If a person doesn't live with the attribute of kindness of truth, true kindness, harei chai bemitzrayim, he's still living in Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov was asking from Yosef, you know, we got to get out of Mitzrayim. So how are we going to get out of Mitzrayim? Part of that is by burying me outside of Mitzrayim. And the only way to bury me out of Mitzrayim is by performing a chesed shalemis, a true kindness. So ha-gu'ula mi-Mitzrayim, the ability to get out of Egypt, which we know the words Mitzrayim, the letters Mitzrayim, is the same as Meitzarim, which are constrainments. Ha-gu'ula mi-Mitzrayim, the freedom from the constrainments. Mikolam ha-frim la-adam bavodas kono, from all the things that disturb a person's service to Hashem. The way to really get out of the deterrence of your service to Hashem is by living a life of doing for God, as it were, a true kindness. Chesed ve'emes, hakavanu hu chesed shalemesh, ein mitzabel l'gmul olav. A true kindness, the understanding, just like we know by Yaakov, when you bury someone, it's a chesed shalemis because you know no one's going to ever pay you back for that one. So that's the same idea. The chesed that you do in being a servant of Hashem is without looking towards any self-serving needs and not to look for any kind of payment. Totally altruistic. So therefore, what's the point? If the thing that a person's seeking out in every place is to do kindness, not to look for things for himself, how pleasant it would be for him, how good it would be for him, or maybe Mal Mekubal, how acceptable it is. Tsuras Aistaklus Esel Mishtana L'Chalutim, the way he looks at the world will change totally. That's the goal, is to always be looking for not for me, but for looking for others. That would change the person totally. Ela Shabof and Tiva, but the natural way a person is born into this world, Kolar Machapi says Asma, everybody's looking for himself. Manoach Lo, what's good for him? Matov Lo, what's pleasurable for him? Manoim Lo, what's acceptable for him? In other words, what he's saying is to always look for the chesed, not to look what's good for him, not to look what's pleasant for him, not what he will get out of it. Right? Lo Lachapi says Asma, Manoach Lo, Matov Lo, Mahumakubal, Mahumakabel. You know, not to search for himself, not to want what we want, not what he gets. Right? If it's just the chesed, just looking through the chesed, that will change his whole outlook. Although normally, naturally, we look through it the other way, look for just ourselves. But you gotta reflect on this. He wasn't created the natural way that you want to be, to just be able to be on the receiving ends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yotzer Sa'arav Hukava Mai Tachloso. Hashem fashioned the person, he established what his goal is. Adam Lo Yochel B'Shum Panim V'Ofen L'Kfor Ma Tachlosho Chayav. The person is not able at all to establish what is his goal in life. V'En Gam Shum Efsharis Adam Lehis Makeach Im Baro. And there's no way a person can make a deal with God. That, you know, I'll do this if I get this, to make these deals with God. You know, people are in hard times, they start making deals with God. Okay, I'm going to come to Minyan, I expect to find a job in a week. You know, I'm going to give some tzedakah, I expect my family members to feel better. You can't make deals with Hashem. I'm going to do the mitzvah because I'm going to get something out of it. You can't do that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole point is to change yourself from the selfish person who comes into this world to the person who is the selfless person when he leaves this world, and as he lives in this world. That's the difference between Egypt and not Egypt. Hamitzrim Amru, what did the Egyptians say? And that had to do with the Jewish people. Havanis Chakim Alo, L'moshi and Shal Yisrael, we're going to have to deal wisely against the Savior of the Jewish people. Hemratzu L'ischakim, L'bechina Shal, V'asisa Imori Chesvemes, Anos Yisrael, they wanted to outsmart the aspect of do a kindness for you and don't bear me Mitzrayim. Hem ratzu es Mitzrayim, hem lo ratzu es vasisa imarich es v'emes. They wanted what Egypt was all about, and they didn't want this idea of kindness. So again, remember, everything that any feeling there is in the world, that even non-Jews had, that's something that's, a little bit of that is inside of us as well. Right? So, b'china zu shal havan ischak melo, this aspect of let's deal wisely, this exists in each and every Jewish person who thinks that he can outsmart God or make a deal with God and to be able to live the way he wants to live. In other words, he says, listen, I'll be a Jew, but I'll get what I really want. What do I really want? A, B, C, D, and E. But, you know, I can't get God too upset with me because I may not get it. So I'll do, in Judaism, A, B, C, and D. The things that, the minimum amount to get what I want. But I'm going to use Judaism, and that's what really the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, you know, don't make Torah a hatchet for you to chop things down with. Which means, you know, you want to use the Torah as a tool to get what you ultimately want. And that's not what Judaism is all about. We're naturally born with selfish, narcissistic desires. That's how every human being comes into this world. And the idea of being an Eved Nemen to Hashem is to say, you know what, it's not what I want, it's what Hashem wants. And it's not that I have my pre-existing needs, and I'll be an Eved Hashem to the extent that my pre-existing needs are taken care of. But if they're not taken care of, then I'm not interested. Or I'll do the bare minimum of what I have to do as a servant to make sure that I get what I want. So ultimately, what are you doing? You're doing it for yourself. Yeah.
Your goal is closeness to Hashem. Isn't that what you're doing?
But
you're using the Torah to get what you want. You're just saying, don't.
No, no, no. What you want.
Not close to Hashem.
Go
if what you want is selfish things,
it is selfish to want to be close to
that's
Hashem.
Not selfish. That's not selfish to be close to Hashem. That's not selfish. That's not selfish. Having a relationship with someone expecting nothing in return is not being selfish. It's not being selfish. I have this, I exist to have, to be close to God, because that's the Ratzon of Hashem, to be close to God. My Ratzon is becoming His Ratzon. I will subjugate my other wants for the want that God wants me to be His servant. And therefore, when Hashem says, on Sunday morning, you come to davening at 8 o'clock to get close to me, and your body says, let's sleep in, because I want to sleep in. You say, I'm not going to get what my body wants to sleep in. I'm going to get what Hashem wants me to do, and that's to be at Minyan at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Because that will get me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what He wants. He wants me to get close to Him. I want what He wants. Wanting what He wants is not a selfish thing. Wanting what you want is a selfish thing. Right? In any relationship, to really have a relationship with the other person, you have to give up your own personal wants. You have to be able to do that. And so we come in this world, the selfish, narcissistic person, I want A, B, C, and D. So Hashem says, no, 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 the goal in life is X, Y, and Z. So now you have to be able to give away A, B, C, and D to get to X, Y, and Z. And you have to develop, you have to develop yourself into wanting what He wants. That doesn't become a narcissistic drive. In a marriage, your spouse wants certain things. You don't want them at all. You don't want them at all. You want the other things. So to be able to cultivate a desire to want what my spouse wants, that's not narcissistic. And if that becomes my want, now you've bonded with that other person. And that is a difficult thing to do. To move away from I want this to say, you know what, that's not important. What the other one wants is what's important. And that becomes my want. That's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. Nasa ritzoneinu kirtzono. Our desire should be, His desire should become our desires.
But ultimately, if it ends up being better for you, then it is self-serving to a certain extent.
But that's not the calculation. That's the whole Mishnah Pirkei Avos says. You don't serve God for the intention of getting a reward.
Except that's what happens.
That's fine. That's what can happen. But that's not my goal. My goal is to do what He wants. He wants me to be close to Him. And that means I have to give up all my sense of independence. You have to give that all up. You have to give up a lot of things to get what He wants. And ultimately that should be what you want. I want what Hashem wants. I want what Hashem wants. If it's better for you, Baruch Hashem, thank God we have a God who gives us better for us. But you don't feel it for a long time. And the ultimate thing is to have a relationship with someone else that is an altruistic thing. To be able to love another person on their terms, not on your terms.
It's a blurry line, because when you do that, you get back.
But that's not why you're doing it. And guess what? Guess what? You're an Eved Hashem. And He kills your wife. You still happy? You don't get what you want. You know what I'm saying? You don't get what you want. You're getting what He wants. Okay? So, you know, and those are the nisyonos in life. Those are the tests in life. What do you mean? What I want is I want me and my wife to live to the ripe old age of 120. And I want to have a parnos, I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have all these things. No, to be close to me, it works differently, my friend. It works on what my infinite wisdom says, and constantly will not fit to what you think is the best thing. Right? So that's what it means to have, to say, I subjugate myself to the will of God, and that's my will is His will. You know, if it came out, you know, every time I did what Hashem wanted, I got everything that I wanted, that becomes a selfish wiveling thing. You know, I have my spouse, so anytime I want something, my wife agrees to it. It's a great relationship. And you know that's not how it works. You know that, you know, the other spouse wants other things, and you have to compromise, and you have to give it, and you have to, and you have, not only that, you have to want what the other one wants, not gonna, okay, I'll do it if you really want me to do it. You have to be excited and happy to do what they want, and to feel at one with them when you're doing what they want. You know, and ultimately you'll have a better marriage that way. And ultimately it will be better for you. But how much sacrifice you have to make for that? So that's an altruistic relationship. It's I am with this person to be with it. And if at the end you enjoy that, that's great. But there's constant sacrifices and putting yourself last all these times. So, you know, ultimately it's the best thing for you. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. That God wants what's all of this. But during that process of shifting, you go through a lot of nisyanis of your body saying, that's not what I want. That's not what I want. That's not what I want. Till you ultimately connect with Hashem. Once you connect with Hashem, you're not interested in any rewards, any this. This is, I'm fulfilling the will of Hashem. If at the end it works out better, great. But that's not my motivating drive while I'm doing it. And that's the difference. If every time I look at this, what's good for me, you'll never get to a relationship with Hashem, because the body always screams out so much other things that are good for you. So that's what you're bringing out is the contradiction, the apparent contradiction between the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that says you're not supposed to serve God for reward, and the 10th or 11th principle in the Ani Mamins that says you have to know that Hashem rewards you for doing the right thing. So how do you balance the two? How do you know? You have to know that Hashem is going to reward you. You can't, if you're missing it, you're missing one of the principles of being a Yid. You know that Hashem will reward you ultimately for what you're doing. And if you don't believe in that, you're a heretic. But on the other hand, you don't serve Hashem for that. That's not why I serve Hashem. That's not why I'm doing it. You know, you have to know that ultimately doing what Hashem wants will give me the ultimate pleasure of being close to Him. But that's not the sole purpose why I'm doing it. What if God turns around and says, you know what, I don't want you to be close. I'll do all this, but you still won't be close to me. You still have to do it. Right? Would you still want to do it? Would you still want to do it? And the truth of the matter is there's so many things that our body has to sacrifice to get to that. And it's from the body perspective, more painful to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The body has to give away everything. Ultimately, it gives away all its wants and all its body needs. All its body needs, all these selfish needs have to be given away. And then what do you become? You become, what's your reward? What's your reward at the end? You become a giver. That's what you become. Great reward. You become a good person. Right? A father says to a son is very obese. So the father says to the son, I want you to, you have to go on the treadmill every day. Every day you have to go on the treadmill for an hour. Every day you have to go on the treadmill for an hour. And the son says, I don't know. Okay, I don't want to do it. Okay, you're going to make me do it. Okay. So one day the kid doesn't go on the treadmill. The father says, you're not going on the treadmill, you're not getting dinner today. I can't get any dinner today. Okay, I'll go on the treadmill. I'll go on the treadmill. And it goes on for weeks and 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 weeks. A whole year goes by. Kid goes on the treadmill. And then when he does go on the treadmill, the father, says, okay, you're a good boy. Let's go out together and do something together. Okay, fine. So the father always made sure that the kid would go on the treadmill. Right? So then after a year, the kid goes to the father and says, listen, Dad, you owe me $10,000. And the father says, what for? I've been working for you. What do you mean you've been working for me? I've been going on the treadmill. And the minimum wage is $8 an hour or whatever. And I've been doing about 1,000 hours or so over the year, whatever. So you owe me $10,000. I says, you idiot. Why was I telling you to go on the treadmill? For me? It was for you. Is that you would be a healthier person. Although you were fighting me the whole time. And you hated me every day for making you do that. But, well, I should pay you for this? I owe you something. I was forcing you to do what was good for you. And now look, you're a thin guy. You're a healthy guy. You're not going to get a heart attack now. You should thank me for making you do this. That's what it means in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos says, you don't serve God for the reward. You expect Him to pay you for making you into the best person you could be by following His instructions. But the Ani Mami says, but that is the ultimate reward. It's not your healthy person. You're a spiritually healthy person that can connect to God. Right? That's the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward is to be able to bond with God. You know, but how much of treadmill you have to go on till you can get there? How many sacrifices you have to make till you can get there? So and you expect to get paid for this too? You expect to get other things too? You expect you have a good parnasa? You expect this? In other words, your service to God means you should never demand anything from Him because the whole system was built for your benefit. And you have to struggle and fight and this and overcome your body who's screaming and yelling, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. But eventually you become a spiritually healthy human being. And you got to realize that's what the system is meant to produce, spiritually healthy human beings. And that is the animami. That is the animami. But to expect to get payments for this, that God owes you something for this, that's what it means. Schar. Schar in Hebrew means a payment. Somebody owes you. You worked for me and you owe me. So the Mishnah Perkev says, don't be a servant, amanasar kabel schar, to get a payment, that Hashem has to pay you. He owes you something because you did, he built, for care, the whole system was for your benefit. Was for your benefit. A system that you initially were not interested in at all. It's a system that goes against your selfish needs. And that's what the Animamin is saying. You have to believe that what? That Hashem is going to ultimately reward the person. I'm sorry, I made a mistake in the Hebrew words. Almanas lekabel pras. The Mishnah Pirkei says almanas lekabel pras. Pras is a payment. I'm sorry. Pras is a payment from somebody else. And schar is being able to become the beneficiary of becoming the different person. So the Mishnah says, don't look for a pras. Don't look for a payment that God owes you something. But the Animami says he's going to give you a sechar. He's going to give you a reward, meaning to say you will become the better person. Sechar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is you get a chance to do another mitzvah. To get another chance to be closer to God. Right? You did a big mitzvah, so guess what you get? A vacation for 3 weeks? No. Another mitzvah comes to you. I give alt. I got to do another thing? So if you're doing the mitzvahs because you're expecting to get a payment, so you know what? God, let me have a vacation. Don't pay me so much. I worked enough. I want to go on vacation. No, God says, I'm going to give you another mitzvah. Right after you're so wearied out of the last mitzvah, God says, here's another one. Well, you know, you went on the treadmill for a week, go on for another week. And ultimately, you're the one who's going to gain. So it's this constantly, you constantly have to give and give and always be working from the approaches, what does God want? 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 Ultimately, you'll become the godly person. Ultimately, you'll be the person infinitely greater than the person you came into this world. Right? It is for your benefit. It's no question about it. But you accomplish it by being altruistic and not by being self-serving. No, not at all.
So you should. Because it's enjoyable. Like you say the hour before the end of Shabbat, Shalosh Shudas, it's like a taste of the world to come.
And you,
if you enjoy that.
So Baruch Hashem, you have now moved to the point of giving up your selfish needs of the physical world, and you're now giving that time to be with Hashem. And you've learned to enjoy that selfless way of living. All you're getting from that is being close to Hashem. I mean, all. But there's a lot of people who would rather run out the first minute after Shabbos. And you were likely to be that person 5 years ago. And now the only thing I want to do is to be with you. That's my greatest pleasure. That's altruistic. I'm like, self-serving means I have something personal just for myself and it has nothing to do with you. When you work for a company that is totally self-serving, it's totally self-serving. The day the paycheck stops is the day you stop working there, right? With a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you don't always sense the paychecks coming in. You know, we've gone through a lot of Holocausts and pogroms. Walk out of a Holocaust and say, "I love you, Hashem." You know, where was the payback? You know. So, because the body wants to get something. So God said, I'm not giving the body anything. So in terms of the body, there's nothing, don't expect anything. You might get, you know, you could get it. I could decide to give it to you so you'll get other things. But don't count on it. Don't make deals with me. What would you say is, how would you call a selfish marriage and a selfless marriage? How would you define that? a selfish marriage and a selfless marriage. How would you define it? Okay, but what happens when you eventually enjoy putting the other person first? Would you say it's selfish? Would you say it's self-serving?
Well, that was my initial.
No, but I'm saying, but it's not. What if at the end of the day you say, you know, all I want, dear, is to be able to sit with you and watch the sunset together, while your buddies want to go snowboarding and your other buddies want to do this and that, and you say, you know, my best joy is just to sit with you. That's not selfish. That's not selfish. You know, you've learned to bond with that person. And that's it. And you've surrendered your personal wants for a higher want, and you've become part of that higher want. And that's the most beautiful thing you're looking for. And it's not selfish. And you know, if God forbid, that person you love in your life, you know, it's either you or them in terms of getting run over by a truck, you'll push her out of the way and you'll take the hit. You'll take the hit because, you know, what's life without this person? So you're right. It's a fine line, but that is the Ratzon in Hashem is to surrender your reality to His reality. Now, at the end, that is the greatest pleasure, but that's a deep neshama pleasure, a deep, deep, deep neshama pleasure. And that's the pleasure that Hashem wants you to cultivate. He wants you to cultivate that pleasure. And there's so many sacrifices on the way to get to that space. So and it turns you into being a selfless person. And that is the best person to be, is a healthy, spiritually healthy, selfless person. And that's what Chofetz Chaim says. At the end of the day, you don't serve Hashem to say, I'm doing because I'm getting Olam Haba. At the end of the day, that the chassid doesn't talk that way. The chassid just says that one thing: I'm doing this for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever he wants to take me. Therefore, you could have a story like the, who was it? I forgot which Rebbe, you'll remind me, Rafal will remind me in a minute. After he leaves this world, he goes into Gehenna. He goes into Gehenna, and then he says, I want to take a peek in Gehenna. I want to see what's going on before I go. So then he says, and then Hashem says, okay, now it's time to go. He says, I'm not leaving. Not leaving. I'm not leaving until you take everybody out of Gehenna.
He had a friend who visited him because he promised to. Wasn't there?
Whatever. I'm just saying. In other words, he's saying, I'm willing to be in hell all my life. Because that's really your deepest Ratzon Hashem, is that nobody should ever be in Gehenna. I'm saying, people are willing to give up their Olam Haba. If it could help Hashem's cause. Okay, that's unbelievable levels. But ultimately you become the selfless person, and the selfless person connects to Hashem. And yes, it's a more enjoyable life, but look at all the sacrifice you have to make. And you only become, and even at that point you're saying, and it's just for you, Hashem, I'm only thinking of you. When the husband and wife are with each other and they really love each other, the husband's always just thinking of the wife. He doesn't even think about himself anymore. Doesn't think about himself. And that gives him the greatest pleasure, is to think of other people. Well, then you what you become is a tzaddik. And to enjoy becoming a tzaddik, that's what Hashem wants you to have. And ultimately, you'll enjoy that. Ultimately, you'll enjoy that. But what you had to have done is to give up the self. That's what makes it altruistic. You've given up the self. And you've become beyond the self. You know, and that, as you can see, as opposed to the people say, you know, I'm going to be a nice husband because I know my wife cooks for me, and my wife does this for me, and my wife does that for me, and my wife does all these things for me. Now, how do you tell it's not good? Because what happens when she stops doing it? Then all of a sudden, you're not so friendly either. So we know that all the good things you've been doing have always been self-serving, right? But what happens? Yeah, so initially, of course, that's why we get married. But as time passes, you begin to see, you know, it's not the cooking, it's not this, and I love her just for who she is. And then if, God forbid, as years pass, you know, she gets arthritis and she can't cook anymore, and she's not as beautiful as she'd like to be. And you know what? All the things she did for you when you were first married, she can't do any of that. But you know what? You still love her more than anything else. Why? She's not doing anything for you. It's because I've learned to give to her. And my greatest pleasure is to give to her. So if you call that a selfish way of life, so, you know, so be it. But that is the godly being. That is the godly being. And It means you're always, the godly being is always focused on the other. And when you develop that pleasure of always focusing on the other, that's the perfect type of person to be. Because every kindness you do is always focused on the other person getting the kindness. Your relationship with Hashem is, I'm with you, Hashem, and my greatest pleasure is to let your goal of the world come to fruition, that I am close to you. And that I serve you for another reason than I just want to be with you. Right? It's a complicated, but I think the marriage model helps one to understand that model. And it's not, so your question is, so isn't that selfish at the end? Aren't you having a better lifestyle beforehand? Of course you are, but it's not selfish. It's not selfish. It's being the ultimate giver. And if you enjoy being the ultimate giver, how can we call that narcissistic? As long as you're not hurting anybody, and you're always putting yourself second, and you enjoy doing putting yourself second. And whatever Hashem says, you enjoy doing what Hashem says. And you enjoy being a selfless person, you can't call that being selfish. Can't say it's a selfish person who enjoys being selfless. That's the beauty of Yiddishkeit, where at the end of the day you'll enjoy that better. You'll enjoy that better to be a selfless person. But it doesn't start that way in the beginning. No way does it start that way in the beginning. And it takes a lifetime to develop into that kind of a person. It's a tricky concept. Yeah.
Does that mean there shouldn't be
divorces? One good question after the next. Does that mean there shouldn't be divorces? Listen, if the Torah allows for divorce to happen, that means there is a time and place for it. You know, why that's ultimately happening, why people get divorced can be for multiple reasons, and it's not for any human being to determine why those reasons exist. Only God knows, right? And you could say it's like a bidyeved. It's like, that's not... We don't get married looking to get divorced, right? It's like, you know, let's say having a spare tire. Why do you have a spare tire? Why have a spare tire? In case one of the other tires fails, you have a spare tire. So why have divorce? In case marriage fails, listen, the worst hell is being married to someone you can't get along with, right? So it's a safety valve to get out of, you know, as opposed to Christianity, it says you got to always stay with the person you're married to. That's true. So if you're an unbelievable tzaddik, like the Tanoim in the Gemara, who had wives who were witches, and they still gave to them, because they realized, it's not me, it doesn't really matter. And they could go beyond their personal needs. You know, if you're on such a high level, you'll never have to get divorced. But we're human beings. We're human beings. And human beings, you know, not everybody... I'm sure everyone who's on this Bilvavi level would never get divorced. Because you'd be such a tzaddik, you could take anything. Your personal needs are nothing. Are nothing. Now, if both spouses always thought about the other person, how could you ever get divorced? How could you ever get divorced? But what's life all about? We're all, you know, we can have extreme... the truth of the matter is, Rafal, you know, a lot of people... who have bad combinations. You can have people with certain bad combinations, bad physical combinations. This person has this kind of way they like life, this kind of, that kind of life, and on a physical level, it clashes a lot. It really clashes a lot. So then you have to be the bigger, you have to be a much, both sides have to be bigger people to go beyond that. Now, you need both sides to have to want to go beyond that. So generally, in every divorce, everybody says the other side didn't go beyond. You know, who knows the real truth? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. It's nobody's business to know. You know, if one party is such an impossible person to live with, and you're not yet this ultimate tzaddik, okay, the Torah realizes you can't, you know, this person constantly abuses you. Verbally abuses you without stop. Now, if you're a big tzaddik, you don't take it seriously. I don't know if any of us could live with such a person. I don't know. I don't know if I could live with a person who would verbally abuse me without stop and treat me like dirt. There could be people like that, right? So, you know, so if every one of us had the ultimate worst spouse, we probably all would get divorced. So Baruch Hashem, we don't get the ultimately worst spouse. Maybe it's sprinkled here and there, people get the ultimately worse spouse. I mean, that's not the general reason why there's general divorce in this world. The general reason is because everybody's selfish. The selfishness has peaked to such an extreme, we can't give in on anything. That's a general divorce. You could have within people who can give in a certain amount, but up to a point. So today, the high divorce rates, people can't give in on anything. Finished. Just can't give in on anything. It's a spoiled, baby boomer generation. The parents gave them everything. You're used to having what you want, and now the spouse isn't giving what you want. You just get divorced and finished. But you could have divorces where, you know, there's extremes. And there's one that's an extreme. So, okay, you can't live with such a person. You're not obliged to live with such a person.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is that on the general level that we're talking about doing things
because
of the Ebed Hashem,
right.
Not expecting rewards,
right.
That's what we should do. But now you're saying, but we're human, and these things happen.
So let's put it this way. Two people are having trouble in their marriage. You go to a marriage counselor. Okay? Go to the marriage counselor. So the marriage counselor says, you know what? From now on, let's work on the following strategy. Right? So what invariably happens, he'll tell the husband, you have to work on this, and the wife, you have to work on that. Right? That's what usually happens. So what happens? What if one of them doesn't work on it? One isn't working on it. Now you are the one who is working on it. You say, well, listen, you know, I can't stand that my wife does this, and I always react to it. For now, I'm not going to react that way. I'm going to take my first step. It's hard, and I'm going to do it. But you see, the other one isn't trying. So then, it takes an unbelievable great person to say, I'm still going to keep working at it, even though I'm getting nothing out of this. We're not that such big tzaddikim. That's it. I don't want to get into merit, people coming from. What?
But isn't that the same? We're using the parallel of the marriage. All I guess I'm just trying to say is that it sounds like on the level of spiritual closeness that you give without expectation of reward, but physically, it's a different.
Listen, I wonder how many people will be Baal Tshuvas if while they're being Baal Tshuvas, they're pelted with more suffering and more suffering and more suffering. How many would become Baal Tshuvas? Right? Very few. So Hashem is usually pretty nice. He sees you're about Shuva, he lays off of you for a while. And you keep Shabbos 1 week, you don't keep Shabbos the next week, he doesn't say anything. Till eventually you'll keep Shabbos. But if you're trying to improve a marriage and their spouse is still the rotten spouse that they are, you're not getting much encouragement. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and invariably that's where the divorces come up if either neither one really is working hard at it. For whatever reasons, you can't get past the past. You can't forget about the past. You can't forgive the past. Or you see you're working, the other one's not working. But listen, this level of Bilvavi is not an easy level. So if we're not on this level, then divorce is something that's shayach. When you're on this level, you're out of Misha. It doesn't matter that my wife doesn't do this. It doesn't matter that my husband. It's just not, it's all narishkeit. Remember, how many of you started your marriage saying, the only reason I'm married to my spouse is to learn how to get close to Hashem? Okay, you don't.
I'm still in good shape.
But if that's how you're looking at it, then you're saying, if it's learn to get close to Hashem, and my wife has a temper, that means I have to learn to be patient. And that's it. And that's being an evidence. And the evidence, Hashem gave me this wife. She is my basher. And I have to learn to be patient and just keep giving her love for all that. And not to take it seriously. That's the problem. We take life too seriously. Right? We take it too personally. And you have to not be able to do that. Now, but the Torah recognizes we can't legislate living on the Bilvavi level. We can't legislate it. So how am I supposed to live? I'm human. I can't rise to the occasion every day of the week. I can rise to the occasion 3 times a week. But every day, 27, you know, all day long, she insults me, she abuses me, and it gets under my skin eventually. So I says, okay, you're a human being. Okay, so you're entitled to divorce this person. And maybe I'll give you an easier person later. Maybe not. Maybe you're supposed to have suffering for X amount of years, and you're making a free will choice to get out of it. You know, it's way too complicated. It's way too complicated. But there'll never be a divorce. Never. If both sides say, we're getting married, why? Because this is the Ratzon Hashem, and this is how I get closer to Hashem. And if they both come in that way, there's no way there'll ever be a divorce. Because you're always seeking out the Ratzon Hashem. And if you're upset with a spouse, you say, well, what's the Ratzon Hashem here? How am I supposed to deal with the situation? Right. The Ratzon Hashem is I shouldn't abuse my spouse. If that's Ratzon, I stop abusing my spouse. You go to a Rav, you go to a marriage counselor, and say, what's the Ratzon Hashem over here? And the guy says, listen, every day my wife insults me. The guy says, is that true? Yeah. Why do you do it? Because he's an idiot. So the Torah says, even though he's an idiot, you can't abuse him. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. Finished. So she has to stop abusing him. Yeah, but you know, I abuse him because he does stupid things. They turn to her husband. Yeah, what are the stupid things you do? Well, I never call, never tell her I'm there. So you have to stop doing stupid things. And you have to start calling, you have to do this. And this is the Ratzon Hashem. And it's not because you owe your wife, you owe Hashem to do that. And then the marriage will be fine. So it's, you know, we're not all on that level. I can't imagine any time where great Rabbanim ever got divorced from their wives. Gedolim. Ever hear once a divorce with a Gadol? Ever once? Never. You think they got along, they were a natural fit all the time? No. In a lot of cases where the Rosh Hashivas and their wives were totally different people. But that wasn't important. They had a job. It was about Avodas Hashem. That's where they got married. Okay, looks like we didn't finish again. We'll try again on Monday. But it was good questions. It was good questions. So it's worthwhile. And, okay. So have a good Shabbos there. Good Erev Shabbos. Let's see if we can review these ideas before we discuss it on Monday.